Our text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19. Paul writes these words. He says, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring Christ to those who are now under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." Well, if you've been in Muncie the last week or so, you'll notice that those little signs are beginning to pop up about getting your flu shot. Have you seen those? Have you seen those signs starting to come up? How many have you maybe have already gotten that flu shot? Anyone here yet? There's one or two maybe, but not too many yet. But that is something that we want to begin to think about, because the flu season is about to come upon us, and certainly it'll be here in October, and it takes a few weeks for that stuff to work through your system to really protect you from that. In November will really be the height of it, and we really want to ward off those little bugs that's going to come and try to find us anyways. And you know, it's not any fun to have that little flu bug. Not at all. It can really spoil things for you. A few years ago, Susan and I went on a Caribbean cruise, and one of the stops we made was in Samana, and we just had a great time, but what we found out a few days later is that this little stowaway came on board, this little flu bug. And this little critter really got the best of many, many folks there on the ship. Fortunately, he never found his way into our room, but we were taking all the precautions you're supposed to take to try to keep him away. And this little guy really slowed down things on board. Before, whenever you would go into the main dining room to eat, you would walk in and, you know, you'd sanitize your hands and you'd pick up your plate and you'd head off to the buffet line and you'd dip in everything that you wanted. And of course, you'd always get way too much. But after this little stowaway, you were met at the door of the dining room where a girl sprays down your hands. Then you were handed a plate. No one touched their own plate. And the buffet line was staffed with people who would dip the food for you and retrieve your drinks for you and all of that, which greatly slowed down the process. It took forever to go in and eat. And whenever you went to one of the sit-down restaurants, when you were served at your table, let's just say the service took forever because all of the people who were in there were helping out in the dining room, the main dining rooms, and staffing that. And so this little guy, he really caused some problems. And if you've ever had him in your home, you know just how much of a pain he can be, right? Okay. Yeah. And do you know... Do you happen to know what the best way is to invite this little critter into your life? Anyone know? Huh? What's that?
Shake your hands.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Probably we're all kind of rubbing hands now, aren't we? And so that's the best way to transfer that little flu bug around. And the best way to keep this little flu bug away from you then is not shaking hands, but it's also to wash your hands often. On the ship, they had us watching even hand washing videos and everything in your stateroom. But do you know how long you're supposed to wash your hands? Anyone know? Yeah. At least a minimum of 20 seconds. 20 to 90 seconds, using warm water, not hot, not cold, 110 degrees is ideal, and using soap, not antibacterial. You do not want to use antibacterial soap. And then drying your hands with a paper towel. But to keep this little guy out of your life, you really need to be proactive. And so this morning, why all of this bug talk? Huh? Certainly because the flu season is just around the corner. But I also wanted us to think about bugs today. Because you see, you and I are really called to be the bug. We are. As Christians, we are called to infect others. Now, I know that might be a word that sounds a little strange or a little harsh. Go forth and infect, all right? You may have never really thought of it like that before, because we as Christians, we really like to use words like sharing, don't we? To share the gospel or to spread the gospel sounds a whole lot nicer, doesn't it? But really, folks, we are called to infect. Jesus's people are to be infectious. We are to be contagious, to be the bug. I think Jesus might tell us to go out and truly to infect. But sharing sounds a whole lot nicer, a whole lot tamer, right? Yeah. But you see, the problem is, even though we use the word share a lot, for many of Christians today, we really don't do a very good job in sharing. And that could be because we've always thought of outreach and evangelism in terms of sharing Christ or of spreading the good news, which really sounds so much more polite than infecting. Colin Wong, he's the genius who developed Google into like this $3 billion a year advertising grant giant. He shared with us about how Americans, and really people even across the world, do not do a very good job of sharing. In fact, that's kind of across the board that we do not do well as Americans. Wong is this Malaysian disciple of Jesus Christ who lives in Kirkland, Washington, and he is an expert in social networks. Wong says that Google researchers have discovered that only about 10% of people share. The rest are simply consumers, and they do not share. Google's information is downloaded to one web address, and it is never passed along. And only 10% of Google shares pass their discoveries along to others who might benefit from them. So think about this. 90% of us are natural consumers, and only 10% natural sharers. And the cutting edge today in software engineering is to make it easier to share, but it's not happening. And I can't help but to wonder, what percentage of people in the church today are spiritual consumers? You know, I really hope that we would not reflect that same percentage as what Google reflects. I would hope that our percentage would be much higher than 10% for those who naturally share the love of Christ and the benefits of what it is to be a person of Christ. But the truth is, the falling percentage of Christians in America today might just reflect that we're not a whole lot different than Google. In 1990, about 86% of the population considered themselves Christian. And today, that percentage point is very much lower. Some estimate it even around 70, 71%, which means the number of Christians in America today has been dropping well over a half a percentage point every year since about 1990. And church, I believe we as United Methodists, as a church, man, we really need to stop sharing the gospel, and we need to start infecting people again. We as a church, we as United Methodists, we as a local church here in Selma, we need to become viral and contagious infectious. And if at any other point in history today, God's people need to be the bug. And being the bug is biblical. You can say that. Being the bug is biblical. That's fun to say. You know, being the bug is biblical. Now, in today's scripture, we see that Paul's focus is very much like germ warfare. The gospel of Jesus Christ was so infectious, so viral and vitally important that Paul was convinced it must be infected by all means. So convicted was Paul that he pledged to be a Jew or not a Jew, under the law or not under the law, and always weak instead of strong in order to communicate Christ to the greatest number of people possible. You see, Christianity is not a hereditary faith. You don't come into this world being born a Christian. You become a Christian. Christianity has always spread like a communicable disease. What Paul was preaching to the Corinthians was like a germ warfare gospel. Christians are not born. Christians are infected so that in faith they might be born again and infect others with God's love for humanity. In fact, Paul, you might say, even declared himself like that first typhoid Mary for the gospel, infecting any and all who crossed his path. Paul took pride, and he took pride even boasting about the lengths that he would go in order to spread or in order to infect the good news of the gospel. Paul had nothing less than the full-blown case of the crazy love virus, all right? The crazy love virus for Christ, and how we need that today, church. To infect as many people that we can with that crazy love virus, that crazy love virus for Jesus. How we need to truly be the bug, to be contagious and infectious. You know, one of the most contagious elements known to humanity is not a virus. You know, it's not a bacteria, and it's not even an attitude. It's simply a human behavior. It's a yawn. You know, the yawn is one of the greatest contagions ever identified. Can you try that?
Try to yawn. Go ahead.
Come on. Come on. You can stop now. All right. You know, we judge a yawn by being the sign of tiredness, right? You know, as a sign of being, some of you are still yawning. A sign of being lethargic or maybe just plain bored. But the physiology of a yawn, it suggests just the opposite. You know, the body has to relax as the rational thought of the oxygen-depraved brain slowly scrambles and the body reverts back to its primitive state, seeking oxygen, extra oxygen, to fill that lulled, foggy brain. And so without even thinking about it, we open ourselves up and our mouth stretches wide and we suck in the most life-giving oxygen that we can, and we take that big intake of breath, and then we slow down and there's this extended exhalation and blowing out that excess carbon dioxide. And so one's entire body participates in the yawn. And so really when we yawn, it's kind of like a full body workout. We yawn and we open ourselves up to a fresh breath of air, a fresh insights and fresh pathways. Yawning then, though it might be a little embarrassing whenever, you know, it's done loudly in public, especially whenever you're preaching, and you're the one yawning, but it's a good infection. It's a good infection. It actually works to wake you up. Yawning's not about being tired and making you sleepy. Yawning happens to wake a person up. And it not only wakes us up, It wakes up those around us, and it spreads its wake-up call to anyone and everyone who's within its influence, right? You see, it's time to put the yawn back into our faith. It's time to yawn others back to faith. It's time to infect others with the love of Jesus. It's time to be the bug and infect as many people that we can with that crazy love virus for Jesus. Oh, you see, we need to get as much of that crazy love virus on our hands and get out there and touch and shake hands and push shopping carts and grab doorknobs and play with your friend's toothbrush and just kind of lay hands on as many people as we possibly can. You know, I hope today I've given you a whole new way to think about outreach. Not sharing the gospel, but infecting the gospel. It's a very different approach with a very unique sense of urgency. You see, viruses live by spreading. Without spreading, they die. Kind of sounds like the church, huh? Yeah. See, to live as the church, to live as Christians, is to live as a contagious and as an infectious people. And this image of being infectious and contagious, man, it was very much a huge part of Jesus' ministry and his life. In Jesus' day, Jews, man, they could not touch anything that was impure, anything that was unclean, anything that was dead. They believed that this is what it was to be holy, and you could not defile yourself by touching something that might be infectious in any kind of way. To be uninfected, in other words, by the ugliness of sin, to be separate from the sinner, to partition yourself off as the temple was partitioned off from all that was dirty and sinful and soiled. But you see, Jesus stood that whole understanding on its head. Jesus could not refrain from touching anything and everything that was impure, unclean, dead. Jesus, think about this. He touched lepers as others who were unclean. And in touching them, Jesus infected them with the love of God. See, Jesus touched the dead daughter of Jairus and infected her with life. Jesus touched the prostitutes and sinners, eating and drinking with them and infected them with forgiveness. And Jesus even broke the law by letting the sinner woman touch him. And in that touch, she was infected with a whole new hope and a whole new future. Oh, you see, for Jesus, nothing was accursed. Holiness is reaching out to touch the unclean and to not be afraid of the dirt and the dust and the sin. See, Jesus' love was infectious. It was contagious. It was viral. It was full of life. And so should be ours. So should be ours also. Church, I don't know about you, but I do not want to be a part of that 10% of spiritual users. I don't want to be a part of that 90% of spiritual consumers. I really want to be in that 10% of natural sharers. How about you? How about you? Folks, we really need to be the bug, to be infectious, to be contagious. So this morning, before we leave, this is what I want you to do. This is the action part of the message. This is what I want you to take home with you, okay? I want you to reach over to that person next to you, sitting next to you. You might have to reach behind you there, you know? And I want you to take your hands in their hands. Go ahead. Take your hands in their hands. All right? And I want you to rub your hands all together. All right? And I want you to get as much of that crazy love virus on your hands, okay? And then I want you to go out and I want you to touch as many people as you can in the name of Jesus, all right? I want you to go forth and be the bug and infect, all right? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you this morning for the truth that you call us to share your word, to go out and to spread your gospel. And however we want to think about that, Lord, by being infectious or by being contagious, but certainly, Lord, to share that crazy love virus with anyone and everyone who we can come into contact with, to give us a whole new identity and a whole new thought pattern, Lord, as what it is to really share your word and how that sharing is supposed to be caught by others around us. Lord, give us that same kind of passion, or at least a part of that passion that Paul had as he said, I'll be a Jew or not a Jew. I'll be a Gentile or not a Gentile. I'll be whatever I can to infect as many people as I can for the sake of bringing people to you, Jesus, and helping them to know your love. Lord, help us to be that story, a part of that story too. For we ask this and we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Now, go forth and infect. Go forth and be God's people, truly being the bug, so that we might share Jesus' love and share that crazy love virus with everyone who we come into contact. And as we do so, may we experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.